Hello, and welcome to Batflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. I'm Darius Austin, and today we've got another one of our podcast roundtables for you, focusing on a particular division. And we've got several AL West representatives in with us today. So a few of them are still on their way, but I'll go around and introduce who we've got so far. So for the A's, we've got Dom Clark. How are you doing there, Dom?
Yeah, not bad, thanks.
Oh, looks like someone else has just turned up. Excellent. We've got our Angels rep, who I'm sure everybody's looking forward to hearing from, or maybe worried about hearing from. Hey. Tom Young, how are you doing, Tom?
Mariners, mate. Mariners, not Angels. Mariners.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're at Mariners. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, don't shortchange me.
Wait, Tom. Angels are here. I'm just on the train.
Oh, this will be your first, I think. So that was the voice of our own. You okay there, Nicky? Are we going to lose you at some point, or is the train reliable?
You may well lose me, but hopefully I'm nearly back at the station, so fingers crossed, should be okay.
Cool, okay. And representing the Astros, we've got George Martin. George, how are you?
Hi, doing well, thanks. How are you?
Looking forward to this. We kind of wanted to get this one in because the division's looking pretty interesting right now. The A's. Almost got to run a little bit, so kind of just wanted to start off, Tom, with, you know, how has it been, better or worse than you expected, and what have been the highlights for you so far?
Yeah, I think I think to be fair, we were kind of expecting a season similar to this. Maybe weren't expecting the division to be quite as strong as it is. We finished last year with a lot of the young prospects looking really good, and have started this year in a similar fashion. So we're just above, we're just a winning side, and we'd probably top like the AL Central, but we're fourth in our division, which I guess is like disappointment number one. But the winning season so far is highlight number one. I did a little bit of fag packet maths before I came on, and if we didn't play the AL West teams, we'd actually be on a 0.657 win streak. Because we've lost 20 games in the division versus winning 11, so I think we need to put in for a transfer. I guess for the highlights, clearly the Sean Manaea no-hitter against the Red Sox. It's probably the season highlight so far. Other things, Lowry hitting over 300 well into May was really good.
Apologies.
No worries. I guess as well as Lowry's hitting, got to mention Chris Davis's home runs. He's been absolutely superb, and we really missed him when he had a couple of weeks out after a slight shoulder aggravation. Mengden, as well as Manaea, in terms of the young pitching staff, has been in excellent form. And actually, Manaya's form's maybe took a little bit of a dip after his no-hitter, albeit his opponents have probably been the stronger ones. Chapman, as well, need to mention, in terms of his fielding, we call him Chapman Captain America. He's absolutely superb on third base. And I guess off the field, the 50th anniversary celebrations in Oakland have been a superb highlight so far. Disappointments, probably Stomper not getting the UK mascot. Still bitter about that bloody bunny rabbit from Houston. I guess we've had a few injuries to the pitching staff. Casilla has been absolutely shocking in relief. And Graveman's maybe being a bit harsh. Graveman's probably not been as good as we'd hoped this season. Sort of like looking forwards, I think that my biggest concern is what will happen with LaCroix. I suspect we can't afford to keep him. He's probably like a £12 million a year pitcher, and we're probably paying him about six. And he's a free agent next year, so I suspect we'll lose LaCroix. Traded for youth, as is the Oakland model. Hopefully, we'll finish higher than any team in the AL Central, but we'll probably still miss out on the playoffs. in an ideal world as well, we'd get Davis signed up to a long-term deal, maybe have an announcement on the stadium future. And in an ideal world, there'll still be competitive baseball in Oakland when we turn up mid-September for our trip out there. So that's what we're hoping for.
That'll yeah, so it, is it kind of a, you know, in terms of where you see the season going, are we expecting a Billy Bean trade or two at mid-season, or do you think they're going to hang in a bit longer than that and maybe look to challenge for a wild card?
It's tough to know. I guess a lot will depend on the upcoming series against the other AL West teams. We need to improve our form against the AL West teams. I think he'll hang on longer because there's really only LaCroix who's like a big risk for, well, not a big risk. I mean, he clearly just wouldn't stay with us. So in Billy's mind, it'll be trading that up against what he could get for him. I think we'll go further than mid-season. So I think we'll still be competing past the All-Star break. So it might be a bit later on that he does the usual break the team up and trade everyone. We've also got some good young pitching staff coming back. So Montas has come up and has had a fantastic start to his major league career. Blackburn's just come back from injury and won his first game. So we could actually strengthen, to be honest. Hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood.
Yeah, I mean, I think the guys are certainly tired of me telling them to watch Matt Chapman highlights every morning. But I really love watching him over there. I think he's definitely the best defensive third baseman in MLB. Sorry, Ben. No, the Arenado fans out there. But he's wonderful to watch.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah. Have we got an Astros response on that shot of the mascot there from George?
Well, yeah, I think all but, you know, he carried on what Junction Jack had started back in 2000, took a little hiatus, you know, 12-year hiatus. One, you know, and he came back, and he did a really good job on Stomper. But you know, Stomper put up a good fight, probably a bit better fight than the A's are going to put up in this series against us starting tonight. But we'll see how that goes. But yeah,
shots fired. Are you expecting the Astros to win this division, Dom? Is that how you see it playing out, or are we going to have the surprise?
I don't know. I can see the Mariners fan there just itching to jump in there.
don't worry, I'm getting to him next.
I don't need to at this point. I don't need to. I'll let you guys go.
I think that those two teams come first and second in the division. I think it's for us and the Angels to fight out for what might be a wild card spot, might not. Depends how the AL East goes as well. I can't see anyone from Central getting a wild card spot.
No, I think that the Tigers are in second place right now, aren't they? At 5 games under 500, so probably not happening over there.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we kill our Mariners fan, who I mistakenly called an Angels fan earlier, we've got to talk about Seattle, who are incredibly still in first place, although they're technically listed as tied with the Astros right now because they've played different numbers of games. So I guess this has probably been a little bit of a surprise for you, Tom. This is not quite the season you expected at the start, or am I wrong? Were you this optimistic?
I've been watching the Mariners. I'm still new to this, but the Mariners I've been watching long enough now to know do not expect anything because it's never going to work out that way. Came into the season not expecting anything. We had Ichiro come back and I was all for it because it gave people a reason to come and watch. And it's turned out completely opposite. The guys who we weren't expecting, was expecting to be role players, have come in and made a big change. Your Hannigers, your Gamels, even your Diaz, your Paxtons have come in and have made a real change and made a real difference. Just even the ones that were there from last year, they've made a big step up this time around, which has been great to see.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see an actual divisional race. I think we all kind of thought this was going to be a bit of a write-off and the Astros would run away with it, which obviously they still could. But right now it's really exciting. So in terms of how you've got here, I think I saw that the Mariners have won the most one-run games of any team through 65 games ever. So how are they doing that? Is the bullpen great? Is it just everything's coming at the right time? What's going on with the team?
The bullpen is providing, but a lot of it's mentality as well. So I saw one of the stats earlier on. I saw was which we haven't lost two consecutive games in a series. We've done that twice this season, only twice so far, which is not normal for us. We've had times where we've gone into a slump and we've lost a couple, but this year we've not. I think it was against the Rangers and the Astros early in the season. We lost two on the trot, and we haven't since. There's been a few times where it's looked like it, but we've managed to pull it out of the bag. A few big hits, Diaz coming in at the end to close it out. I'm in euphoria at this moment in time. You've got to enjoy it while you're there. I'm not expecting us to stay there, but that's why it's a perfect time to have this chat now. I can soak it in while it lasts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I think the highlight for me personally so far has been James Paxton, who just looks unbelievable. Is him still being healthy at this point in the year kind of a bit of a surprise as well?
Oh, completely. Completely. Our bullpen, our pitching, we've always had problems in the past. And our biggest problem at this moment in time is Felix not having his form, which is not great for us, but it's also very nice compared to the last few years, where the big hands have been out for big stints. So Paxton being healthy and in this form is outstanding for us right now.
Yeah, and we certainly know that Jerry Boto is renowned for being a bit of a wheeler and dealer. Do you think he's already got his eyes on the next move? I know he traded for Dinard Span and Alex Colomé not so long ago, kind of the first significant trade of the season. Where are they going to be looking to upgrade if they make a move in the near future?
I can see big on... It depends. It depends how he sees Cano coming back. So obviously, biggest earner, but out for 80 games. D Gordon's now moved into second base where he wasn't the Marlins. So he's left the hole at centre field. So it's whether we hold out for that or we get a short temporary replacement in for that short span of time, really, I think. I think that's there and first base are where the two places we're going to be looking, I think, over the next few months.
And you kind of hinted you don't expect to stay here all season, but given the way the standings look right now, you've got to be thinking about one of those wildcard spots, haven't you?
Dreaming of. Let's not say thinking, let's say dreaming of. So what? We've got the longest postseason drought in North American sports, basically, at this moment in time, in the top league. So I'm not getting too far ahead of myself at all. But I fancy my chances at a wildcard spot, most definitely. The Astros are going to come strong. They always do. They can pull out anything they did from last year. They're going to come back firing, and we're not going to have the guns to stick with them. But if we can stick above the Angels, above the Athletics, then I'll be happy come the end.
How long have you been following the team? Would this be the first time you've seen them in the playoffs?
I think the last time I was in the playoffs, I was 10. So, yes. I've only been following them a couple of years. So baseball's quite new to me. But it was looking back at the highlights of Griffey. They're the guy. Griffey and Ichiro got me into the Mariners initially, and we've not done anything since then. So it would be nice to break that duck now.
Yeah, absolutely would. Is anybody here more optimistic about the Mariners than our Mariners fans?
No.
I didn't think so.
Resounding silence there. Okay, well, I guess we'll move on to the team that they're tied with over in Houston. So, reigning World Series champions, I think this is kind of where everybody expected the Astros to be, just without another team right next to them. So, George, how are you feeling? Are you pretty confident that it's still going to be your division in fairly short order?
Yeah, I think division-wise, definitely still very confident that we'll be where we want to be come the end of September. But I think... It is a surprise that the Mariners have put up the challenge that they have so far. I think it's really a really odd season to digest as an Astros fan so far because, yeah, the record is good. You know, we're 17 games above 500. There's no problem there. But we have had some pretty high-profile losses against division-challenging teams from both inside and outside the West. So it's not sure where one's coming from, but... But yeah, so we've had some losses which are a bit concerning in terms of the bigger games and looking ahead. I mean, it's easy to look too far ahead, but I think that the absolute bare minimum we should be setting ourselves with the team we've got, with the talent we've got, is to be winning the division again. Hopefully by a fair margin, but obviously, you know, at the end of the day, it's just about winning the division and getting into the playoffs. And then when you get into the playoffs, it's the madness of October. It's a completely different animal. But I think the season so far has been real contrast, because we've had our offense from 2017, which was so destructive, has been a little bit, I don't know, Jekyll and Hyde in a way. It's been sort of a feast and famine. We haven't really had that consistency, which I think has been really symbolized by the problems we've had in getting consistent production from the lower order hitters in the lineup, which we had last year. And whilst we're perhaps not missing Carlos Beltran's bat so much this year, because he wasn't really delivering consistently in his second stint with us, we're possibly missing that leadership aspect. And I think that we've had to the bats have had to sort of fend for themselves a little bit. We've had Reddick on the DL for a while, which hasn't helped either. And I think one of the biggest points has to be Marwin Gonzalez kind of regressing more to the mean after what was a career year last year. I mean, his average has dropped, I think, if I'm probably around 50, 60 points from what it was last year, which is, you know, that's a big factor. And the other side of the coin is the pitching, which has been absolutely beyond stellar. I mean, I still can't believe the rotation that we've got. I mean, Verlander he's not human. I'm sorry, he's not human. There's absolutely no way that Justin Verlander is human with what he's doing. ERA, well, I think it's 1.45 at the moment. I mean, and then we've got Gerrit Cole, who's come in and absolutely torn apart the league with a huge number of strikeouts. I think it's over 120 strikeouts so far. And that's not to mention, I don't know where that's coming from, but that's not to mention Charlie Morton, who's done an incredible job continuing on what he started from last year, this sort of career renaissance, which I think the biggest influence in the club this season has been is the continued excellence and leadership of Brent Strom as our pitching coach. The man is capable of miracles, and I don't know if I know that we've had Trevor Bauer talking about spin rates and this and the other and sort of casting aspersions on how we're doing it, but at the end of the day, if you provide some evidence before you're going to come talking nonsense like that, it's disrespectful in the highest order. So I think looking at it from the facts, what we're doing as a unit. I mean, I haven't mentioned Lance McCullers, who is a fantastic talent as well. I mean, the biggest problem has been from a starting point of view has been Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel has not been able to consistently replicate the numbers that we know he's capable of, namely 2015 when he was incredible and went unbeaten at home. Last night was another example of that, where he struggled early on, and it's hard to know what the problem is. So I hope that's something which he can resolve, because otherwise we might have to look at what we're doing with him, whether that's bringing Colin McHugh back out the bullpen to replace him, I don't know. And then the final point would be the bullpen, which has been, numbers wise, has been solid, but again has had high profile failures. I mean, that's the life of a reliever. You know, you're known for when you get it wrong rather than when you get it right. I mean, people will be talking about Ken Giles punching himself in the face against the Yankees after he's given up the game, rather than the fact that he's leading our team with I think it's 10 saves at the moment. So it's a really curious season, and I think I don't feel like last year at this point I strongly felt it was our year already. Like even in the middle of the season, I just felt like this is it. I felt everything had fallen into place. This is way pre Verlander joining, but it's at the same time I still felt all the pieces were in place at that point, and I felt very, very confident. This year, I'll be honest, I'm worried about the fact that we can't get it done against the bigger teams. I think that it's something that we need to address, because there'll be no hiding place come October, and I don't think it's complacency either. I think it's just a case of teams have upped their game against us. Maybe some of our 2017 levels have regressed a little bit. With a few notable examples, I think we can get better, and I think we will get better. As for how far we can take that, I don't know. I think that October, as ever, will be madness, and I think it'll be very, very difficult to predict who's going to come out on top. If we're facing the Yankees again in the postseason, that's going to be a hell of a series. I mean, I think that obviously they'd want to put one over on us, and I think we'd be up for the challenge as well. So it's all to play for. I mean, from from the kind of present position, I think what we've got to look at now is, I think before, if I got it right, before the All-Star break, we're playing the A's, the Royals, the Rays, the Royals again, the Blue Jays, the Rays, the White Sox, the A's, and then the Tigers. So from that, we should be looking to make a statement to the Mariners to say, right, this is our division, and try and really put our foot down before then to try and establish a bit of a gap at the top. Is it going to be easy? No, definitely not. But I think, like I said, I feel like we haven't even properly seen the best of Carlos Correa this season, and with him being as outrageously talented as he is, if he gets on a tear, you know, add that to the starting position that we've got, that's game over. I mean, it's, and I don't want to sound arrogant about it, because it's just the fact we are blessed with an extremely and extraordinarily talented lineup when they all hit their straps and are playing to the kind of fullest of their abilities. I think that we could see something special in the second half of the season, but it depends. It really does depend on how the players respond to what, despite the numbers, has been. It's first world problems, but it's a little bit below par in terms of maybe what we were expecting from the bats, at least, I guess. And that's not including Jose Altuve, who's doing what he does best. I mean, I can't remember the exact numbers, but his road hitting stats are insane, and I love everything about that guy. So with him, with Altuve leading us, and with players like Correa yet to catch fire, Reddick coming back, even though Evan Gattis has suddenly started hitting home runs for fun, it's a season which I think, just if I can stop rambling in a moment, it's a season which I think has a lot to deliver.
Yeah, I think we all expect the Astros to get better, certainly. I know our Angels rep, Nick, has got to run in fairly short order, so I'll flip it over to him. And just to set some context for why this might be a bit depressing, the news came out today that Shohei Ohtani may well need Tommy John surgery and is probably going to miss, most of next season, if not all of it, if that happens. So obviously a devastating blow for a guy who's thrilled everybody. Before I ask about the rest of the team, Nick, how are you feeling right now? And
I don't think we should jump to conclusions just yet. I know GM Epler came out today and said nothing's changed. He's had the injections. They'll reevaluate in 3 weeks. The timetable for having the surgery, he's quite fortunate. He doesn't have to have it yet, so we can give it every opportunity to try and let it heal with the injections, just like Garrett Richards did last year and rehabbed. So at this point, whilst it's obviously devastating to lose both his bat and his pitching ability at this stage of the season, I'm not ruling him out yet for 2019. Even if he has the surgery, could he hit next year? That's a question I don't know, but it's a possibility. Even if he can't pitch till 2020, just having his bat in the lineup is very important for us. So obviously down, but not yet out.
Yeah, I know that. Certainly, there are position players who've had Tommy John who've come back much sooner than pitchers do. So it is an interesting possibility. And I think we'd all love to see that if he was just hitting all year, even if he couldn't pitch. So fingers crossed, and hopefully, yeah, he won't need it. The Angels have a bit of experience with Richards, and didn't also Trippiano try the same route? So.
He tried and failed, so we're about 50%. but we'll take it. Fingers crossed he avoids it.
Yeah, that's all I hope for it, because he's given us some great moments so far. The good news is you still have the best player in baseball and you're still hanging in there in the race. So how are you feeling about the team so far, even without Ohtani? Do you think you can stick around?
Absolutely. I mean, I wanted to jump in earlier when we anointed the Mariners and the Astros in first and second place. I mean, I don't think we're ruled out of that race yet. We've still got a lot of games left to play against both. Whilst I think the Astros probably have too much for us and the division is a stretch, there's serious chance we can get second in that second wild card spot. So our record this year against the AL West has been quite good. We've obviously got a series coming up with the Mariners tonight. So looking to get some more division wins and pushing up. Thing with the Angels this year is there's a lot of holes. I think we're up there in blown saves. The bullpen is certainly a weakness, as much as most of the clubs MLB really could say the same. The hitters have been streaky. We obviously made quite a few high profile acquisitions in the offseason, not just Ohtani. We brought in Kozar, we brought in Kinsler, just to shore up middle of the order bats. hadn't really panned out so far. Kinsler started heating up in the last couple of weeks. Ever since he went back to Detroit, he started hitting. Cozart's good versatility, third base, shortstop, second base. So we're looking up. Justin Upton's obviously a very streaky hitter, but when he gets going, he gives us that power. Problem being, we have Albert in the cleanup spot, and that's not the place he should be these days. Socha likes his vets. I think it's probably in Albert's contract that as long as he's playing, he's hitting fourth. That's not necessarily the place he should be. We've just got to give a shout out to Andrelton Simmons as well, who's having, before he got injured, he's having an unbelievable year, both with the bat and with the glove. Very underrated, I think, still as a shortstop, particularly as a hitter. I think the improvements he's made the last 2 years have gone unnoticed by some, but I think he will start to get even more credit as both a hitter and obviously with the glove. And finally, I guess you look at the starting pitching, which everybody looked at as a potential weakness at the start of the year. But people like Tyler Skaggs and Andrew Heaney are probably throwing the best they've done in their career so far. Garrett Richards is wild and inconsistent, but he has great stuff. So depending on which day you get him, it's great. And obviously, Barea's come up from minor league system and really started well. So overall, quite a positive outlook. A lot of weaknesses. I'm hoping Epler goes out and gets a bullpen arm or two before the deadline. But I think we're well in the race for that wildcard spot.
Yeah, it certainly seems like there's something open there. I mean, we have slammed the Central several times already, so I'm sure people don't need to go over that again. But after the Yankees and the Red Sox get that first spot, it does seem like there's one open there that's probably going to come from one of these AL West teams.
You'd like to assume so at this point. I went over to the Yankee series two weekends ago, just talking to them. They're fully expecting it to be us or the Mariners in a wild card game, probably with them, maybe with the Red Sox, who knows. So we'll see.
Yeah, you mentioned Pujols. How do you see this playing out with the Lucas contract? It's actually significantly hurting the team. I mean, in this race, that can make a huge difference.
Definitely. I mean, I think we've got at least another year and a half to put up with before there's any talk about retirement. He's not going to leave money on the table. Mike Socha is not great at benching vets. So between the two of them, that's not a great combination for us. I mean, thing is, he does obviously play a valuable role. Mike Trout can't sing his praises highly enough. I think he's really helped him develop through the years coming up. He's still fairly clutch. I mean, when he's not trying to just hit it out of the park every time, two strikes, runners in scoring position, he'll still come through for you. So there is still something there, but he's obviously not the hitter we wanted, paid for, or saw previously.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's sad because he was one of the all-time greats, really. And it's disappointing when you see the players like this sort of running out there every day and, the shadow of his former self, really.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we knew this was coming, didn't we, though? I mean, we had to overpay to get him out of St. Louis and we had to put up with this towards the end. But that was Moreno's agenda. He wanted Albert. He needed somebody to grow the franchise, I guess, grow the name. So it's the price you pay.
Yeah. I mean, at the other end of the spectrum is Trout. What is it like to watch a guy play like that on your team every day?
I think everybody should be impressed. We've got through this length of time and I haven't mentioned Mike Trout. he is just phenomenal. I mean, he is, as you said earlier, he's the best player in the game. It's quite ridiculous. Obviously, when I went over to the Yankee series, he was 5-for-5, 4 extra base hits, legged out an infield single. He's just, he can do it all, can't he? He is just the ultimate sportsman, ultimate baseball player, and it is a privilege to watch him in the lineup. Thing is now, though, we have to, either this year or next year, we have to make a proper playoff push. We need to look like we're challenging because that contract is up in 2020, and whilst we have the resources to pay him, if we're not looking like challenging, he may well be off to the East Coast.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows how much he loves his Eagles, so I think the Trout to Philly rumours have been swirling for some time already.
They have, and I'm not concerned. I think as long as we put a competitive team on the field and we actually show him that we're serious about winning now, I think he will re-up. I think we will sign him for the rest of his career. But it is, we've got to make big decisions now. And as you alluded to earlier, maybe Pujols is one of those. If he's not got somebody hitting behind him who can drive him in, then what's the point?
Yeah, absolutely. So are there any moves coming, do you think? Is Epler going to do something to kind of put him in this wildcard race at least?
I'm not sure, to be honest. He has, since he's come to the Angels, you've seen the bullpen is the one place he will not spend capital, either financially or prospects. He seems to back himself to build a bullpen from players that are basically off the waiver wire. And it's had mixed success so far. I can't see him going out there and getting a high-value bullpen piece, but I think he may get a few changes here and there, just work the system. We'll see. That's about where I see it with him.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, he's certainly done well at building bullpens that, at least for part of the last couple of years, have been very successful. So I guess I can see why he wouldn't want to go out and spend a lot of capital on that.
Especially since when he came in, the farm system was in dire situation. And he is, to his credit, we've kept a just about winning team on the field. Plus, we've rebuilt massively, and our farm system is very much on the rise. So I can't see him giving away too many prospects at this point whilst he's still rebuilding it.
Yeah, it seems like they've worked themselves into good shape there. And I know Joe Adell, one of the draft picks last year, is drawing a lot of praise right now. So it's pretty exciting to see a system turned around this way.
Definitely. And thanks for that. I'm going to have to shoot off, but great chat. And Tom, it's good to talk to you again. We'll keep the rivalry going on Twitter.
Happily. Keep it coming.
Well, if you guys are in a close race towards the end of the year, then maybe we'll get you both back on for some more Angels Mariners rivalry.
Look forward to it. Cheers, guys.
See ya. Have a good one.
Okay, so I don't think our Rangers representative has managed to join us. So I'll ask both of you.
I was going to say it's nice of them to not turn up to this just like they haven't turned up in the season. So.
Yeah, well, I don't know how many nice things we can say about the Rangers, really. We certainly didn't expect them to be any good at the start of the year. So I guess you guys have probably both watched them a lot. What is your impression of the team right now?
They look a mess. And I say that with a bit of glee, but also just from as an observer, so playing them the last four games. I mean, we did not play well the last two nights. I think something ridiculous like... it sounds like 18 and 20 base runners and on the two respective nights and didn't beat us on either game. I mean, that says it all. They look like a team that's a bit lost, not quite sure what direction they're going in. I don't know the ins and outs of their club, but I think it looks like they're sort of scrambling around for an idea of what their identity is right now. And I think it shows that they haven't really got the personnel to mount anything remotely resembling even a wildcard challenge. And they've been sort of bottom feeders in the AL West this year. And I think it was like I said, it was what was expected. So I don't really know what the future holds for them. I did see an article briefly which mentioned that their farm isn't in great shape either. I really don't know what the future holds, and they've got their big stadium rebuild, which I think is on the cards. They've got a design that looks suspiciously like Minute Maid Park, but you know, it's what it is. But I think it could be slightly troubling times for them. I guess it would have been interesting to have their rep here, because I would be quite interested to know what their thoughts are and what the future holds for the Rangers. I mean, from an Astros point of view, it's obviously great to see them struggle, but not sure entirely what the prognosis is from within.
Yeah, Tom, have you seen anything more positive out of the Rangers than George has?
I must admit, no. I've not seen much of them this year. I'll follow George. I don't see where they're going. The steps for moving forward, it doesn't look like there's a clear path. It doesn't look like they're moving in any way, whether it's youth or it's big names. And it's taking myself aside from the Mariners, it's quite disheartening to see. We've got a very good, close division, yet we've got one team dwelling down at the bottom, which it would be nice to have them involved in it as well. Because whether you like them or not, they are a big, they're a big team, they're a big name, and they're a good one to have in the race as well. Not, don't get me wrong, not high in the race, but in the race.
Yeah, don't want them getting too good, do you? And spoiling
it's
the season.
It's nice to have someone to pad records against. It does help.
Yeah, as a fan of a team in the division with the Padres, I can definitely confirm it is nice to have someone to pad your record. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Just going to say, I have a quick question for George.
Yeah,
if we're moving on to the Astros. Mm-hmm. Just if you're still, if we're still with you in the race when we get to the All-Star, yep. How worried will you be? Because you showed us the schedule where you've got quite a few weaker teams where we've got...
Yeah, you've got, I think, tougher pictures come up, if I recall. I wouldn't say worried. I mean, at the end of the day, I think, I can't remember who said it. It's like an old baseball sort of truism. Some players said, I don't even look at the standings until August. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's good, you know. It's good and it's enjoyable to have a divisional challenge this year, not because we've been winning the division for year in, year out, but just because it was such a procession last year that honestly, when we got to like July, we were already thinking about October. To have a bit of a pennant race going on, I welcome that from a fan point of view. Obviously, I like I said, I don't want to be too close, but I think it's good to have that. Hopefully we can have some series against you, which actually have a lot on the line, and the players have to stand up and be counted. Because I think what you said earlier about the mentality of being able to win one-run games is absolutely right. There is definitely a luck factor that gets in there as well. But I think you can't win so many one-run games being sort of psychologically brittle. And that's exactly what you need in October. I mean, speaking from last year, I promise I'm not going to go into last season's postseason for the millionth time. But the mentality needed to succeed in the postseason. Yeah, you build on that from what you do in the regular season. So I think what you guys are doing is admirable. And I think, you know, we welcome that challenge. It's interesting to see that it was a team as well that, as we well know, you guys haven't had a postseason for a long time, so to be in the sort of not uncharted waters but different territories is good. I think it's good for the division. I'd much rather we had a sort of rivalry of sorts with yourselves than the Rangers. I don't particularly enjoy that kind of rivalry we have with them. There's not a massive amount of history to that. It's somewhat manufactured by the fact of us moving to the AL West from the NL Central, I think it's quite refreshing to have that. And would I be worried? No, but because I have utmost faith in our team, but I definitely respect that you guys are putting up a good challenge.
I think we're gonna learn a lot over these next few weeks. So I've had a look. We play the Angels 9 times, Red Sox 7, the Rockies 6 before the All-Star break, which is gonna test the mettle of our team.
Definitely
a lot. So we're going to know from the Mariners side of things, we're going to know a lot more when we get to the All-Star break.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting few weeks, I think. And you know that GMs are thinking about trades and the deadline. And I think, you know, when you run up to the All-Star break, these few weeks can really make the difference between what direction they want to go, I think, in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I'm expecting to see some interesting moves. Each team in this division have had them along the way.
You expecting to see moves from your boys, or
always do?
Jerry loves it. He can't help himself.
With Jerry at the helm, I always expect a few at least. I'm just hoping we have a nice core of 6, 7, 8 players right now, which are performing well, and they seem to be very well run as a team. Very connected. I'm just hoping that nothing happens to that core group of players, because that could be where we start unraveling if we try and shoot too far ahead, and we could end up shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, I think every team has that sort of core which you sort of fret about on a daily basis, thinking, oh, what if something happens to Correa and he's out for 50 games or whatever. But I think it's only natural to worry about that engine room of your team. And all you can do is pray to the baseball gods that nothing crazy happens, really.
Or if Cano is out for 80 games, you know, for unspecified reasons.
Yeah, right. I know that George also needs to get off at some point, so we should probably wrap this up. I just wanted to ask you both. I love extracting predictions out of people. Mm-hmm. So now we're kind of, you know, over a third of the way through the season. Well, how many wins do you think you finish with? And what is something to watch out for in the second half?
I'll start for the Astros. I'll say I reckon we'll win 98 games. I think I don't think we're going to quite hit the same numbers last year. I don't think we're going to exceed that number, because last year was incredible, and I think we'd have to go on a hell of a tear to do that. Something in the second half of the season to see. I just think you're going to see Carlos Correa hit his straps and actually start to once again fully be the talent that he is, and start to dominate. I think we haven't seen anything really from him yet in terms of absolutely dominating in the league, and I think it's due.
And what do we think over in Seattle, Tom? Where do you see this team ending?
Wins wise, not an issue for me. We make the postseason, I'm happy, even if it's by a game. I think we'll get to the low 80s personally. I think we'll be able to keep some sort of momentum going. But I think the biggest thing we're going to see this second part of the season is the leadership is going to go from Cano and Felix, and it's going to move over to Segura and Paxton. I think that's going to be the biggest change, where the dressing room mentality is going to change, and the guys that come around them, I think it's going to make a big impact mentality going forward for us.
Great. Okay. Well, I hope the divisional race continues. I certainly loved watching the Astros play last year, but it is more fun to actually watch a race as opposed to the walk in the park that we had last year. I think, as George said earlier, it was kind of a thinking about October and July situation, yeah. And you do have a half of the season that's almost irrelevant. So yeah, hopefully we keep this race going a little while longer. Thanks for joining me, guys. Do either of you have anything you want to plug, or just let people know where they can find you on Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter is at AstrosFansUK. Feel free to sort of hit me up, as I say, on there whenever. You know, it's always happy to talk to fans, and not just Astros fans, any team. So it's you can always find me on there.
Yeah, from the Mariners side, become a UK Mariner. The Twitter handle is at UK Mariner. And just a side plug, I want to say what a good job the Baseball and Committee are doing, getting all these fans together and bring the community together.
Yeah, I work very closely with Dave doing what he does for the events, particularly the London events. And that's a massive focus for us ahead of 2019, if I can just briefly touch upon that. Just check out the hashtag MLB Meetups UK. We've got the next one in London scheduled. Well, it's not confirmed yet, but we're looking at mid-July, so it could be around the weekend of the 14th. So keep your eyes peeled, and I'll be sending out some new graphics and promos and stuff for that pretty shortly.
I would encourage anybody listening, if you haven't made it along to a meetup yet, then definitely get on that, follow on Twitter, and make sure you go down to the next event, because they're a lot of fun. And hopefully, I think we'll be getting one up again in Manchester at some point. I'll have to speak to John at that. So if London is a bit far for you and you're up in the north, I'm sure there'll be one over in Leeds as well. And many others. We've had some in Scotland too. So it's going really well. And the interest seems to be building ahead of next July, which is, for sure, is very exciting. Yeah, you can find us on Twitter at batflips_nerds. We do need some followers, because if we get to 3,000, then Phil Hughes, Major League pitcher Phil Hughes, is going to come on the podcast. He has promised us. So if for any reason you're listening to this and you don't follow us on Twitter, then give us a follow. Tell your baseball loving friends to give us a follow, and hopefully we can get Phil on the podcast soon, because he's a fun guy, and hoping to ask him some good questions. So that would be much appreciated. We will be doing some more of these. I think we're gonna have an NL division lined up. So for those of you complaining that this has been very AL focused so far, we will be doing an NL division next time. I can promise you that. and we will talk to you soon. Bye.